praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to have the privilege to gather here, Lord, Father, and be able to worship, dear God, in the liberty, Lord God, that you have provided for us, Lord. And Father, we're safe, Lord, in the harbors of God, Lord Jesus, and knowing, Father, that God, your hand is ever upon us, Lord. Dear God, I thank you for this church that you've given us, Lord, this building, and Lord, that we could dedicate it to you, Lord God, to Lord, that it's not used for other purposes, but it's used for the service of God and for the worship of the people of God and for the fellowship of the people of God. And Lord, we ask now that you be with us in this service, Lord, as you have been in the song service now. May, Lord God, that you be with us as we bring the word. May you anoint me with your power, Father, and your spirit. We ask it for thy glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to turn to Hebrews 13 and 5 through 8. I want to continue on with what we've been, our subject that we've had, considering the end of their conversation. And things just keep coming to me. And be honest with you, I like it when I get on a series. I just really enjoy it. It gives me plenty of time to, gives the Lord plenty of time to say what he's got to say about a particular scripture. Amen. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I'd like to read one more scripture while you're standing. 2 Kings chapter 2. And verse 13 and 14. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So, we all know the story of Elijah and Elisha, and we know the history of Elijah, and that Elijah, when we read about it, it was very exciting times in the days of Elijah. Elijah had the power of God, and he worked with fire, and the power of God seemed to radiate from him, and he had faith, and all of this appeared like it was going to be gone when Elijah left the scene. And because in Elijah's day, he ministered with boldness, and the blessings of God were upon him. And when he prayed, God answered. When he prayed, the rain stopped. When he prayed, the rain came back. When he preached, people responded to him, Israel. When he acted, kings trembled. And when he worked, fire fell. And when it was coming his time to leave, why Elisha left, he left plowing the fields, and he went after Elijah, and he followed him, and Elijah said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want a double portion of your spirit when you leave here. I want a double portion of what you got." Notice, Brother Branham says, ask God for big things. Elisha didn't say, "I want a little bit of the spirit of what you got." He didn't say, "I want the same as what you got." He said, "I want a double portion of what you've got." Friends, we don't just want what they had. We want what everything that God has for us. We want a double portion. Amen. And he said, "Well, if you see me when I'm taken up, you'll get your request." And so chariots of and horses of fire come down to pick up Elijah. And Elisha was there and saw it. And Elijah throwed back his mantle, and Elisha went over after Elijah was gone, and he picked it up, walked over to Jordan, smote the water, and said, "Where is the God of the Lord God of Elijah?" In other words, is he still the same? Is he the same God that he was? I asked for a double portion. If I got a double portion, then the same God of Elijah that moved in the same power that moved through him will move through me. He smote the water, and the same God came down and parted the waters. It was the same power that Elijah had rested upon Elisha. If you were to count up the miracles that Elijah done and the miracles that Elisha did, you would find that in Elisha's time, he missed doing double by one. But then, you remember the story? They threw a dead man in over on Elisha's bones, and he came back to life. Double the miracles. The same power of God. Amen. When Elisha died, the power didn't die with him. They threw the man on his bones, and the power of God brought him back to life. It's the same today. Though our Elijah may be dead, the same power of God is here to do the same things, to raise the dead, to heal the sick. Hallelujah. He's still in the saving business. He's still in the keeping business. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Branham, at the end of one service, saw a man come up to the altar. The man was praying. He didn't come up for prayer, but he came up to the altar. They didn't have, I don't know if they didn't have a prayer line or what it was, but the man came up to the altar, knelt down, and was praying. And Brother Branham's spirit moved on him, and he knew then the man was dying of cancer. So he went down there, and he laid his hands on the man and prayed for him, came back up on a platform and said, "God has healed him of the cancer." And then he went on to say, he said, "Why don't the rest of you come up here and kneel around the altar?" He said, "The God of Elijah is still alive. He still lives. He still heals. He makes well both soul and body. He's a full gospel man, a powerful man, an almighty God, an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just come and believe. Thou shalt receive." God said so. That's what you got to do. Come and believe. And if you come and believe, you're going to receive. Amen. Why? Because God said so. And his word can't change. His word's the same today as it's always been and always will be. He said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word won't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, amen. Have you received the Holy Ghost? He was talking about, you know, his analogy of the boxcar having to be loaded and everything set in there just right. No rattle. Right. When they said something about miracles, there wasn't no rattle in the boxcar. When they said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, there was no rattle in the boxcar. When they said Jesus Christ still heals, there was no rattle in the boxcar. Everything was set in there just right. And he was, the analogy was likening that to a believer. And he asked the people, said, do you have the Holy Ghost? And he said, do you believe God, that God still heals? Do you believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? You believe the Holy Ghost is just as real as it ever was. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, do you believe the same Spirit that fell on Paul falls on us? Do you believe it does the same things on us as it did on them? Amen. I believe it does. Hallelujah. I believe in the move of the Spirit. I don't believe that went away. I don't believe that died. I don't believe the message or the prophet came to do away with the move of the Spirit. I don't believe the church order has done away with the move of the Spirit among the people. Hallelujah. He still sends the Holy Ghost. God still sends his power. He still shows the sign of the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. He's living among his people. Amen. Brother Branham says in the Eagle Stirreth Her Nest, that what we need today is a nester in time. Yes, sir. What we need today, amen. You know what, when he preached that message, the Eagle Stirreth Her Nest, said the eagle would take, that mama eagle would start to take all the feathers and fluff out of the nest. Yeah. And she had built that nest out of thickets and stickers and thorns. Something that would stand the storms from up there high where she built the nest. Something to keep the nest together. But when she started taking all the feathers and fluff out, the nest got uncomfortable. I believe the feathers and fluff are all coming out of our nest here on earth. I believe it's starting to get uncomfortable. Amen. I believe it's time to leave the nest, don't you? And said she would do that so that those eagles would be willing to leave the nest. You know, if it kept it soft, nobody'd want to leave. If it kept it easy, nobody'd want to leave. But friends, we've got a better land we're going to. We got a better time that we're going to. Amen. We're not just going to the wedding supper for 3.5 years, but we're going to a millennium where we'll live 1,000 years and be able to laugh at the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God. Softness is leaving. Amen. Hallelujah. You might think you've had hard times, but I'll tell you, friends, the softness is leaving here. Them eagles are ready to take a hold of mama's wings and be took out of that nest. And you know, you know what Brother Branham said she does? She doesn't get up there and just give them flying lessons, Brother Phil. Says she gets them out there, out of that nest, and they're hooked onto her wings. Then she shakes them wings and shakes them loose. And you know what they do? They fall. They fall. And there's something in them. It's their nature to stretch forth their wings. It's just in their nature. It's born in them. God placed it there. And when they stretch forth those wings and the wind catches under them, up they begin to fly. There is something about an eagle, the way it's made, that an eagle can stretch forth its wings and just soar on the current of the winds. Hallelujah. God gets us up there, shakes us loose into some trials. And you feel like you're falling. Something in you. What is it? Faith. What is it? You're a child of God. It's in your nature to stretch forth your wings of faith and be able to just float on those currents and come right up out of that fall. Come right up out of that trial. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm falling. Stretch forth your wings. You're made to take it. Friends, God has made the elect so in this day that we are going to overcome. There's nothing the devil can throw at us that we won't overcome. He's made us to take it in this time. We're made to be in this day. We were predestinated to be at this time. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord had his picture taken with us, Brother Branham said. He didn't say he had his picture taken with me. He said he had his picture taken with us. And he said it's the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. It's the same pillar of fire that came and appeared to Paul and called him from the destruction of the church that he was involved in. It's the same pillar of fire. It's the same pillar of fire that appeared to Moses. Hallelujah. It ain't a different one. It's the same one. And you might not be able to see it with your natural eyes, but friends, the same pillar of fire comes down over God's elect people. When they said where two and three are gathered together, there I will be in their midst. Hallelujah. In the last days, hallelujah, he said God still fills people with the Holy Ghost. They still speak in tongues. Hallelujah. They still, he said, what we need today is preaching of the power of God. He still interprets tongues. He still, the power of God coming. What is it? It's the Lord drawing nigh, getting his church ready. Brother Branham said, aren't you glad to be in such a thing with God? Ought to make you happy. Aren't you glad to be in such a thing with God? You're part of it. Think about it. There's prophecy coming to pass. Friends, there's prophecy that we're looking at that I believe is drawing near to coming to pass. I believe it won't be long, and that seventh vision will be fulfilled. But I'm not part of that. Because while that seventh vision is being fulfilled, I'm going up. I said I'm going up. Aren't you? I'm not going to stay around here. Brother Ram said the bride won't be here. She'll be caught up into glory just before that happens. Do you see how close we are? Hallelujah. You believe God can pour out a refreshing of his spirit upon us? You believe we need a re-baptism of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Well, he's the same God. He's the same God that was here when the prophet was here. The same God that fell on those services is the same God that falls on our service. Hallelujah. Let's start something. Amen. Let's start something. Let's get a fresh pouring out of his spirit. So how do we do it? By believing. Amen. Friends, it's a gift. It's something God give to you. It's a promise. So what do I got to do? Just accept it. It ain't dependent on you or me. Amen. It ain't our word to back up. It's God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, have mercy. Amen. Lord Jesus. He's not a dead God, is he? Amen. He's a living God. Amen. He's not one that healed the sick back in the days of Brother Branham, but can't heal the sick today. Friends, we don't need another prophet. What we need is to believe what's been brought. Amen. We don't need somebody to come and discern the thoughts and hearts by calling people out, telling them where they're from and what their name is. That happened, and it happened for a reason. If it just happened left and right, left and right, left and right, left and right, then it wouldn't really be that big of a thing, would it? But there was one to an age. One to an age. And those things happened to get the attention of the people. Do you imagine how many people it got their attention and they didn't believe? Say, being healed is a great thing. I imagine there was many people that were healed in those meetings and just went on their merry way. Believing is a big thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've never seen, yet I believe. Hallelujah. When Brother Jim has given his testimony about being there and watching Sharon get healed, friends, I didn't have to be there to see that. I believe it. I know it's true. Say, how do you know it's true? The same way I know it's true that Jesus anointed a man's eyes with mud, told him to go wash it off, and he'd see. Same way I know that when he spoke, Brother Branham spoke them squirrels into existence, it happened. Same one that said, little fishy, I give you back your life, it happened. He's the same God today. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He's still the same. You can't, you know, Brother Bam many times said, you can't get warmed by a painted fire. And what he meant by that, he goes on to explain. He said, it ain't you getting warmed by the power of God that failed at some other time.
Right. Right.
But it's the power of God that can fall now.
Right.
It ain't just us saying, well, you know, God had healed in the ministry of Brother Branham, but it's knowing God still heals today. God still moves today. we can still feel his presence. We can still talk to him. I tell you, I don't think we talk to him enough. I know I don't. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's got to be something now, not just something that was before. Hallelujah. The same God still lives. He still heals. He still saves. Hallelujah. He still gives the Holy Ghost. He still anoints. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's the same Jesus. You realize, friends, you think back, and when God called you to this end time truth, you may say, well, you know, my mom and dad came to it, and then I was a kid, but there was a time when you weren't just a kid being raised by parents that knew about the message. But there came a time in your life where it came a time of accountability. And it came a time when God called you. You think back to it. You were predestinated to catch that at that time. You were predestinated to be wherever it was you were when you heard it for the first time. You were predestinated to hear it. And it was predestinated to have an effect on you.
Amen.
When that seed was sown, it was the seed of the word I'm talking about. It was predestinated to find a bedding ground right in your soul. Why? Because you were a child of the King.
Amen.
You were a child of Jesus.
Yes.
You were a son and daughter of God. You're not of this world. You didn't come of this world. You came from another world. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said we were beings of eternity that dropped down into bodies of time. Hallelujah. I've always been eternal. I just came down to this body of time. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Time is cruel. This body of time is cruel. I'm waiting for the change. I know it seems like almost every service I have to say something about the change because I'm looking forward to it. I believe in it. I believe that God that spoke through Paul and told us about it, he's the same God today, and he's going to make it happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are predestinated. And you know what? We were planted just like a tree, planted by the waters. I shall not be moved.
Amen.
We were planted. You know, there's a difference between just sticking a stick in the ground and actually planting something. We weren't just stuck. We were planted. And the roots began to find the root holes and push their way through, take a hold. Hallelujah. Not of this earth. Not of this dirt, but of the word of God. Hallelujah. And there might be some that's fell by the wayside that won't make it. There's some that fell among stony ground. They won't be able to get no root. There's seed that's fell here and there. Why? Because when the net's cast out, it pulls in everything. The gospel net. And when the seed of the word is sown, some of it falls here and there and talk about this different ground. It's all about this ground.
Right.
The
when the seed of the word fell in this ground, it took root. That's why, no matter what anybody says about Brother Branham, no matter what anybody says about this end time message, I shall not be moved. Because the seed has took root. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's said, planted by a river of water. No wonder it can't wither. Why? The river of life. Hallelujah. It never runs dry. There is a fountain. There is a river. Hallelujah. It never shall run dry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we just kept growing and growing. Friends, if you'd look back over your shoulder through the years, you'd see the difference where you're at now than where you were. You'll see the difference in your faith. You'd see the difference in your stand and in your belief. Hallelujah. You young ones, just keep staying there and letting the word come forth and letting it take root in your hearts. This word has a change. It brings about a change on the people of God. We're born into this world, brought forth speaking lies, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But there's a part of me that didn't come from this earth. There's a part of me, amen, that was born again. Now, for it to be born again, it had to be born the first time. We were always a part of God. We were born into this life, but then we were born, something in us born again. It was that seed of God that we were born with. You came here with it. Hallelujah. Friends, if a preacher could put it in you, then the devil could take it away. But no preacher put it into you. No prophet put it into you. No man put it into you. It's in you because you were always a part of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Drawing from the rivers of life. Friends, he still feeds us like he always did feed his people. Hallelujah. He's the same. There are people today who don't believe we need speaking in tongues anymore. There's people today who don't believe we need interpretation of tongues. There's some people today call themselves message believers. Somebody speaks in tongues, they're, oh, they're Pentecostal. Yeah. Oh, out of church order. Why? That's them denominational people believing that. He's the same God today. He didn't do away with it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You say, you know what? We don't no longer need the Old Testament. Look, there are things I don't understand. There are some things that come to my mind that I don't understand. But I know this, God sent his word and I believe it. And I believe we need the Old Testament. I don't believe that Jesus came and done away with it. I believe he came and fulfilled it. He fulfilled everything that was ever spoken about him. He fulfilled everything that was ever typed about him. Everything that ever represented anything about him. He fulfilled it. Do you realize if Jesus Christ was standing here today, Brother Branham said he couldn't save you because he already did. He already died for your sins. No wonder he looked at this evil generation and said, I indict you for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ because you're crucifying his word to the people. Why? Because they weren't saying he was the same. Oh, he don't perform miracles no more. There ain't no divine healing anymore. We don't need the Holy Ghost anymore. That was just for the apostles. That's what they say. But you know what? There is something inside an elect believer that can't accept that. Can't stand for that. Won't put up with that. Hallelujah. Just like there's something in us, you know what? Won't put up with disrespect. Like I give you that story about that woman that was up there, nine, and these other, I want to call them biddies, but you know, tattletales of the community, you know, gossipers. They came in up there and she said, Brother Branham said, I wasn't going to die. Oh, you can't go by what he says. He's a fanatic. He's crazy. They went on for a little bit talking about Brother Branham, and then she said, wait a minute. I am not going to stand for that. Why? They were showing disrespect. And she said, I'm not going to stand for that. She said, I've seen the power of God move on him. I've seen the sick healed. And you know, Brother Branham wasn't standing there when she said those things, but the angel of the Lord came and told him about it and said, you go up there and tell her she's going to live. Brother Branham said, why did the angel of the Lord come tell him that? Because of her respect. There was something in her that wasn't going to stand for what them other women were saying. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is an elect people that's got their names on the Lamb's Book of Life. Friends, it can't be erased. Hallelujah! It's sealed in there. Hallelujah. Praise God. It was wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Your name. And you think mom and daddy just sit down, mama or daddy one sit down, they just dreamed up my name. It might have seemed like that to them. But I want to tell you, the Bible said your name was wrote in the book of life before the foundation of the world. When I was young, I didn't like my name. I see other people have Bible names, and I thought, well, I don't got a Bible name. Why'd they name me this? And I, all the time, having people come up to me when they find out my name. They'd say, "Did your mommy and daddy name you after Jerry Lee Lewis?" I remember being in the Army. I got tired of people asking me that. I just started saying, "Yeah." I wasn't right then anyway. But I got tired of it. But you know what? I've got used to my name. I'm all right with it. My mom and daddy didn't give me my name. Not even in the natural. I found out just before my daddy died, I found out it was my grandmother who named me. I found out my mama didn't even like the name. But she never told me all these years. But I'm all right with it. And I know, you know what, it may not be exactly Jerry Lee Browning wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life, but whatever that name is that he's given me, God's given me, it's wrote there. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I'm a son of James Browning here on this earth, but I tell you something, friends, I'm a son of God outside of this earth. I'm going back. Hallelujah. Some people, they get to thinking they're going to heaven. I'm going back. Hallelujah. I'm not just going to heaven. I'm going back. There's something in me, in the natural me, that just loves West Virginia. I always have. Since the time I can remember. When memory first started with me, I always loved West Virginia. Now, my mom and dad, you know, they had some hard times. They grew up in some hard times. My dad grew up real poor. They had some hard times. So he associates all that with West Virginia. But me, I had good times. And I associate good times with it. And there's just something about getting in them mountains and breathing that. You know, and I've lived all over the map. I've had all over the map places where I've lived at. But any time that I'm getting ready to go to West Virginia, in my mind I'm always thinking, I'm going home. Because it's just something about it. Now, I can go up there where we all used to be from, that little community. Most all of it's tore down now. That was the memories of home I had. Grandfather's house is gone. My aunt's house is gone. All the stuff's all grown up. There's a big old pine tree that I remember from being just a real little boy. Big old pine tree stood out by the road. It's still there. But everything else is gone, grown up. You can't hardly make out where anything was. And it's sad. The holler where my granny lived up in there, it's all growed over now. But in my mind, when I think about that's where I remember being from. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. In me spiritually, there is something. I don't know why, but there must be some memories. Because I believe I'm going home. I believe I'm going back to where I come from. I'm not going to a new place. I'm going to where I came from. Hallelujah. Brother Branham talks about that difference between that woman at the well and that priest down at the temple said she had representation in heaven.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I believe I got representation in heaven.
Amen.
When the angel of the Lord told Brother Branham, said he asked the angel, said, "Will Paul have to give account to?" The angel said, yes. And he, Brother Branham said, I preach what Paul preached. And said there was voices cried out and said, we're resting on that. I believe my representation was there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my. Friends, I still believe he raises the dead. You said I've never seen it happen in my life. It don't mean he don't do it. Just cause you ain't seen it doesn't mean it ain't been done. I don't know why. You know, you can hear all these accounts over in these other foreign countries where the prophet didn't even come from. Some of them where the prophet never even went to. But you can hear these accounts of God raising the dead back up. Maybe it's because they're just so much simpler. I don't know. I don't mean not smart. I mean, it's just, they just take it and believe it. I don't know. I don't know why God would choose to give a little fish back its life. But he did. And I remember one time, there was a kitten we had, belonged to Nate, and it started convulsing and fell over in the floor. And Mina said, don't let that kitten die in front of these kids. And I picked it up. Brother Phil was there. David was there. I picked it up. I knelt down, I picked it up. And when I did, something spoke to me. I know it was not God. And it said, you prayed for your dog and she never came back to life. I tell you, I had a bulldog that died. I cried and cried. My heart was so broken. She died. I sat on the floor and just bawled. I begged God to bring her back. And I had to bury her. And that voice said, you prayed for your dog and it didn't come back to life. Now you got two brothers of the church sitting here. You gonna pray for this kitten and it's gonna be dead too. Then there was a thought that come from down deep, said, what would Brother Branham do if he was here? Well, he wouldn't listen to that voice, I can tell you that. And I just took that kitten and set it down, gave it a pat, and it got up and ran. Now why would God bring a little fishy back to life? I don't know, but he brought a little kitten back to life. In my life, God's done a lot of things with animals. He spoke to me through animals. I guess I'm an animal lover. Had a cat that was, she had been hit by a car. I got her from the Bylers. They gave her to me. She had been hit by a car and it messed up her hip. When she went to have kittens, she couldn't have them. And I was scheduled to go preach and she was starting to have kittens. Well, I left her there in a box and went on to go preach. When I came back, she was still struggling to give birth to the same kitten. And so I called a vet up, one up here, going up toward Charlotte, up here on 48. I called a vet up, told him, he said, bring her in. He met me there, it was after hours. He met me there, me and my wife. He said, we're gonna do a C-section. And he done a C-section as he took these kittens out, he would hand them to me and he says, you take them over there, wrap them up. He had these little towels. He said, you wrap them up, he said, and you rub them. And so there were some of them kind of moving and that, and some of them weren't. And I was over there going back and forth and rubbing on each one of them, you know. He said, don't be easy on them. He said, Mama's not easy when she does this. He said, you got to rough them up and you take them because they can have fluid in them, you put them up above your head and you fling them down like that to try to get that fluid to come out. And so I was working on these kittens, and he got done with Mama, the mama cat, and he come over there, and I had one kitten that wasn't moving, and I was rubbing on it so much that I got it dry. And there was a couple that were moving, but I'd paid more attention to this other one, and it was dry, and these other two were still kind of wet. He come over to me, looked at that, and he grabbed that kitten that was all dry that wasn't moving. He said, that one was never born, and laid it over there, and he said, you work on these. They're moving. And you know what? The Lord spoke to me and said, you know what? There's some people that are never going to be born again, and you spend so much time on them when you should be spending time on the born again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, he's still the same Messiah. He's still the Word. And he's still a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I might not be able to stand up here and call you out and say, you done such and such and such and such yesterday. But you know, there's somebody up here that can. But he don't have to do it in a way where everybody knows or where it points to me. I don't need to get anybody's attention. He'll get your attention. Because he'll speak through me without me even knowing what you did and tell you what you did or tell you what you've been talking about and have me preach on it. And you sit there and say, man, has he been privy to our conversation? Because he's the discerner. The Word is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. And he still does it. He still creates like he always did. Amen. You know, science is looking for ways to try to preserve life. Here not long ago, they put a pig's heart in a man, transplanted it. The man died the other day. But I can tell you this, God can create a new heart in you. He can do an operation on you without ever cutting the skin. Now, Brother Branham said God gave us doctors to help poor suffering humanity. And there's been some of you had to have surgery and had to have operations on it. There's nothing wrong with that. It ain't that we want to have them. But there's times, you know, it comes down, it's necessary. I've seen people that were offered an operation or some kind of procedure and them turn it down and say, nope, ain't gonna do it. My faith says God's gonna heal me, and them die. That wasn't faith. Faith finds the will of God. Sometimes it's the will of God for you to go through that surgery. You say, oh, but I just dread that recovery. Sometimes it's God's will for you to go through that recovery. I'll tell you what, friends. I got to talking a lot with God during the time I lay flat on my back recovering. I got some messages while I lay recovering. God talked to me. I didn't have, friends, there wasn't anything else I could do. Sometimes God gets you down. Well, you ain't going to talk to me enough. I'll just get you down where ain't nothing else you can do. Faith is what takes you through whatever God's will is for you. Faith finds the will of God. Look, friends, I believe that if God, when the first time a surgeon told me I needed back surgery, I believe God could have healed me if that was his will without me ever having to go through surgery. But I told the surgeon, I said, I've got to pray about it. He said, well, you call me back. I said, all right. So I went to prayer and I prayed. And I didn't just fall on my knees and start saying, God, I don't know about this operation. Oh, Lord, to tell you what, I really don't want to go through it. Lord, I just would like for you to heal me so I don't have to have surgery. No, I never even said the word surgery. I just got down and prayed like I always pray. I got down and prayed and worshiped God until the Spirit of God fell on me. And when the Spirit of God fell on me, there was a peace that came on me. And when that peace come on me, I wasn't afraid no more. I didn't have no fear. I wasn't worried. God spoke to me. I knew I was to go through that surgery. I called the surgeon back up and I said, go ahead and schedule the surgery. And I went through back surgery 3 times. You know, I got pins and rods in my back today. And when the weather gets like it was yesterday, kind of cold and a little damp and everything, boy, I get to aching. I get to aching real bad. I ached all day yesterday. Everything, anything that could ache, ached on me yesterday. I've had 2 broken ankles that healed on their own. And they both ache when the weather gets that way. Arthritis in my hips start just, oh man, just really getting to me bad. And my back aches. And I pushed through it all day. And about 7 o'clock yesterday evening, I gave up and went to bed. But I tell you something, friends. Somebody come to me and said, you know, I had back problem like you had, but God healed me. And that's exactly the voice they said it in. But God healed me like God didn't heal Brother Jerry. And they said, we wanted to give a testimony, but, you know, we didn't want to offend you because you had surgery. I said, you go ahead and give the testimony. Go ahead and give a testimony. It won't offend me none. God healed me too. You know, the last surgeon operated on me, Dr. Mackey, he said, I can perform this surgery, but it'll take God to heal that and make them bones fuse together. When that doctor said that, I knew I had the right surgeon. If he'd have come out and said, not even God can sink this ship, I'd have been like, whoa, I ain't getting on board that. I just ripped my ticket up right now. I ain't getting on board. I don't care how much it costs me. I ain't going down with that ship. But he said, it'll take God to heal. I looked at my wife and I knew I was at the right place. And that God wanted me to go through that. And you know what? God did heal me. I have these aches. Everybody has these aches. If you had a broken bone and had it set back, you can have an ache. You know, when you're young, you don't never feel that stuff as much. But the older you get, the more you're going to feel it. You'll have aches where you thought I never was going to have any aches. course, I've heard women that's been pregnant, I've heard them talk about the aches and pains they go through. They never had before that time. Oh, these bodies we're living in. It's going to be wonderful when they change, isn't it? And we're going to have the same body that the Lord Jesus had. A glorified body. Amen. You know, in the Bible, what time is it? Well, we're getting, I've done pretty good. We're getting close. In the Bible, it speaks about a time where Jesus came to a place called Nain, a city. And there was a man they were carrying out of the city at that time. And he was dead. And the Bible said there was a woman mourning him. It was his mother. And this man was the only son of the mother. He was an only child. And she was mourning him. And the Bible said the Lord saw her and had compassion on her. And he went over and told her, said, "Weep not." And went over and touched that man. And that man sprung back to life and began talking. Hallelujah. And Jesus delivered him back to his mother. Brother Branham said, he's the same God that healed that man in Nain. He's the same God that heals and raises the dead today. The same God that raised that man up, he's the same today. Amen. It's a paradox that God would take something that all life had went out of and bring life back into it. Lazarus, Jairus' daughter. When Jesus said, she's not dead, she sleeps. It said, the mourners laughed him to scorn. You know what Jesus said? Hold on, y'all. Let me explain this to you. He said, get out of here. He drove them all out of there. And when he got all the unbelievers out of there, and friends, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe Jesus was easy about doing it. I don't believe he was worried about offending them by getting them out of there. But he wanted all the unbelief out of there. He wasn't putting on no dog and pony show for these mourners that were laughing him to scorn. He wasn't doing some magic trick for them. He wanted that unbelief out of there. And when the unbelievers were gone, he took her by the hand and said, damsel, arise. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a woman in the Bible, Shunammite woman. And Elisha. And God gave her a son. But then he died while working in the field. But the woman's faith was not shaken. She told her husband, you get me a donkey and you get him ready. I'm taking me a trip. Son laying up there dead. She said, I'm taking a trip. Where are you going? I'm going to get that prophet. I'm going to get that man of God that told me God gave me this son. She went down there. The prophet sent his servant out there. Said, ask her how's things with her and her son and her husband. She said, all is well. It was well now. She had made it to the man of God. He said, take my staff and go lay it on the child. The woman said, nope. We ain't laying no sticks on him. You gotta come. The prophet went up there, went up into that little room. The Bible says he laid himself on top of that boy, put his hands on that boy's hands, put his face on that boy's face, and breathed the breath of life back into him. Now, I don't know how long that trip took to go there and how long it took to come back, but I do know that boy was laying there dead that entire time. And I do know God brought him back to life. And I do know he's the same God today. Friends, he has breathed the breath of life into each and every one of you. You were dead in trespasses and sin. But now you're alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the service today. We thank you for your awesome presence, God. We thank you for the power of God that's come down and has been in our midst, Lord. I ask, God, that you, God, would go with each one, Lord, you know in their needs. You know the things they're going to face this week. You know what they have to do. You know the people they'll face and the things that they'll come their way. I pray, God, may they know that you're the same God, that you're ever with them. You said you'd never leave them nor forsake them, not even to the end of the world. Lord, you said you're with them always, and you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will boldly say the Lord is my helper. Glory be to God. Bless your people, Lord God. Bless them, I pray, God. Lord, let your spirit and power go with them, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.